Dying bird box. I am
Shalom, I'm Billy Grimm. And perhaps you know that I was editor of publications for Kenneth E. Hagin for many years. One day he walked into my office and he said, "There's going to be an age change. I won't be here. It's not going to be just like you step over a log and everything is different. God is going to start bringing things from the glory world into this world. There will be more occasion of angels and activity seen. And there will be people, many people, more people will go behind the veil into the glory world and bring back a testimony of what they saw. Some," he said, "will be near-death experiences, some will not." So right away then, that was in probably 1979, I started collecting these people, and I've known them through the years, people who have been to heaven and come back with their testimony. Known them for years. Now one of my newest collections, my newest pieces in my collection, is Dean Braxton. And Dean Braxton was dead for an hour and 45 minutes. He had an amazing experience in heaven. And he recently came by Prayer Mountain, and I interviewed him. And you're about to hear the things he shared.
They're alive there, and God's working in them and with them and changing them from glory to glory.
Yeah.
One degree of glory to the next, one degree of love to the next.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so I'm thinking about the one you said who died in a plane crash.
Yes.
And he just barely, I mean, he didn't know much when he left Earth.
Yeah.
And I've heard another great saint of God say, leaving Earth and going to heaven doesn't make a spiritual giant out of you.
Yes.
You still have to learn things and mm-hmm, be changed mm-hmm. and know some things and know God better.
Mm-hmm,
and so one thing now I want to talk about is the worship.
Yes.
And you've written a whole book.
Yes.
Called Deep Worship in Heaven.
Correct.
And my granddaughter, who's a worship leader at Chip's Church, she just, this just changed her.
Wow. Wow.
So tell us about what you learned.
First, the simple part I learned is that true worship is doing the will of God, okay? I learned also that the main reason that we come together in praise and worship and the singing is to tell our Father how much we love Him. I wish people would come with that individual mindset. I'm coming here to tell my Father I love Him. Now, we may sing it, we may move in our hands, we may do all these things, but it's really just to tell Him we love Him, you know? And that love could be, like you said, yada, which is thank you. That's a form of worship, and it's a way to tell God I love you. You know, one of my favorite is Zamar, which talks about, it's a Hebrew word, and it talks about the motion to make the music, not just the music, but to make the music is worship. And I think about people that play the piano, or they strum the guitar, or they maybe have a sax before them and they move their fingers. God is excited when they're moving their fingers to make the music, because He looks at that as worship. You know, Barak is prostrating yourself down on the ground before the Lord, as a Hebrew word. All of that was done in heaven. I saw everything in heaven do that.
You saw people with their hands raised.
I saw them with their hands
raised.
You
saw them lying on the ground.
I saw them lying down. I saw them dancing.
Did you see them dancing?
Oh, did I see them dancing? I always
How
think.
How do they dance?
Oh, they danced every which way you can think of.
Every which way?
Every movement I could think of on the planet that was healthy. You know, there's some movies that you just don't want to do because they're not godly. But the healthy ones, you saw everyone. Plus, I didn't even know people. And one thing I came to understand, those that don't dance on the planet, they're going to be the wildest in heaven. I think they need to do it here. We even start going around and doing a training. Lord had me start doing it this year. It's called Consuming Fire Worship. And it's me going through this book some and sharing it and then having everybody ushered into that realm of worship. We just did it. It's a three-parter. We do the first day for about, I don't know how long we go. We go as long as God wants us to go. We do a second part on the second day and another part on the second day and third part. And we watched people move in that realm. And what was really good for me is I watched the first session was like we were chipping the ice to get to the people. They were just kind of frozen. You know what I'm talking about? They were used to worshiping God in a way, and they didn't go outside that box. The second day, people took a more of a step outside the box and started worship God in other ways. They were still worship. Some said they never did the flags. You know how you've seen people do the flags. And I had to tell them, the flags are not just showing the flags. You're helping the atmosphere to worship God also. So when that flag is going through that air, it's pushing the atmosphere. Yeah.
How about this?
Yep, just that. it's literally the atmosphere is excited because it gets to worship the Lord also. You know, and so we saw that progress until the third one. It seemed like those that had been there all three sessions, they just went right to the throne and they were there with the Father. Some of them had experiences of they even forgot they were in the building. You know what I mean? They went there. Some were healed, physically healed during that motion. Some were brought to a different range or a different realm with God that they have never been before. You know? But I would read something out of the book or I have it in audio. So I would play the audio part, then I would read something out of the book, and then we go right into that realm and do that. And I'm telling you, it was so good. The third one, be honest with you, I didn't care if anybody went into it or not. I was going into it by myself. And I left,
I had to
remind myself I was among people.
You know, you mentioned the word samar.
Yeah.
Now that in Hebrew, it's a marvelous language.
Yeah.
Words are related to each other.
Yes.
They all grow from a three consonant root.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them, some two, but most three consonants.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't use vowels.
Mm-hmm.
So you see those three consonants staring at you like a wagon wheel. Mm-hmm. Again. And in the middle of that wagon wheel, let's take the word shalom.
Mm-hmm.
The middle of that wagon wheel is shalim, mm-hmm. salim, and it means whole, whole.
Mm-hmm.
So you go off that wagon wheel with the spokes, the words, and all you do is change vowel sounds.
Yeah.
And shalom, still going to see those three-letter root of shalem.
Mm-hmm.
It's the peace that comes because you're whole.
Yeah.
Nothing wow. broken.
Yeah.
Not anything supposed to be broken out
yeah.
you. So here's this word, amen. Now, that's the most well-known Hebrew word.
Yeah.
And it means may this prayer come true. And that's the root.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, coming out of the spokes are the words that make a prayer come true. It takes.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is emunah, faith.
Mm-hmm.
It takes faith. They're all a family of words. You could preach a sermon on each family mm-hmm. of words. But zmar, it's kin to the word prune.
Wow.
P-R-U-N-E, mm. like you prune a tree.
Wow.
And you mentioned that the first session, they're praising in a way that prunes them.
Yes. Wow. That is something.
And gets that off of them.
Ooh.
Yeah, I can give you a book back there that'll show you before you go home.
Okay, good.
That'll show you that you might want to use it.
Yeah.
But it actually happened. You said it was like the bark fell off of
yeah,
them.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Like the bark or they were being unwrapped like an onion with, you know, how you,
yeah.
and the more the better the smell. You know what I'm saying?
All right, now tell me about this worship leader that you saw in heaven.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, one of the things that happened there, and I didn't know it was taking place until there was a process where I was before Jesus, and then all of a sudden he was leaving me and he was going toward the throne. And as he was moving toward the throne, everything was looking at him as he's moving in that direction. And when he got to the throne, he just didn't stop at the Father. He literally melted into the Father.
I heard someone else say that.
Yeah, he melted in. And you remember how they said the seven spirits of God, they followed him in,
mm-hmm.
okay? And so then we were all drawn to that area because then all of a sudden there was this one being or one angel that was raised up, just kind of came up beautiful. I mean, I can't even describe the beauty of this being. And it rose up, and as it rose up, it would go like this. And something came from his hands in praise. Things were coming off its hands in praise, you know. And I just remember it looking at the Father, and it was huge. But to the Father, it was like this compared to the Father. And it was before the throne, and then the ground rose up underneath this being and even pushed it up higher. You know, in the atmosphere. So everything in heaven, and you got to understand how huge heaven is, could see this being. And as we were looking at this being, all of a sudden that being started singing. And as it was singing, I didn't know this at the time. Later on, I found out the sound it was making was the note of A. you know, the note mm-hmm. of A. And that note of A was going out just like I got to say like lightning, but faster than lightning, but it was in so many different colors, and it was going to every one of us. And it was like this being literally was creating this this sound, and it was going out, and it was my sound, and it came to me, and it was the note of A. And I didn't know that until I was in a place, and there was a guy playing a violin. And when he was playing that violin, I heard the sound. And I said, I heard the sound. And so I sat down with him, and he played all the different, and I said, that's it, that's it, that's the sound I heard. And he said, that's A. He said, you don't know what that does. And because he was in the orchestra. And he said, that's the sound that the entire symphony
everybody tunes to.
Tunes to. And I didn't know it. Mm-hmm. I found out also, Earth makes a sound. Both people don't know it. As it's rotating, guess what sound it is? The sound of A.
Mm.
So I didn't know that, you know? Another guy came up to me, he said, we have been experimenting with music in the fields to get the birds to not come and do what they do, you know? He said, the one note that they seem to obey the most is the sound of A.
Mm-hmm.
And even us, you know, on the planet, the sound of A, it impacts us a different way than all the.
Well, I know about that because I played oboe.
Oh, okay.
And every instrument tunes to the oboe.
Yes.
Every instrument has to tune to that A.
That A. Wow. So I didn't know that, but that's the sound that being, which looked like a female. It wasn't a female, but it looked like a female.
It was blue.
It was blue. It was a bluish color in the sense of a bright blue sky, yet it had the color of a bright blue ocean at the same time. And it was beautiful. I mean, when I say beautiful,
But it was like a human form.
It was like a human form, yes. Yet it had arms, legs, and everything like that.
But you said seven stories or something?
Oh, it was tall. I say seven stories, and even saying that I may be short because it was tall. It was tall in itself, but when the ground rose up, it was even taller.
What did you do?
What she did, I really believe the time she was calling everything in heaven to come around the throne of God and tell our Father how much we love him. She was literally like an instrument. You know how they play the shofar she was literally like a shofar. She wasn't looked like one to call everything in heaven to come around the throne of God and tell him how much we love him. And I remember when we all came around, Billy, the first thing we did was we all were bowing. We were all on our face. And then when everybody finally got there, they had received their call personally. It was a personal call. It wasn't a general call like all, you know, how sometimes they got, the Muslims have the call, they in the morning to come to prayer, you know, that call. It wasn't like that. It was an individual invitation to you to come to the throne and tell your Father how much you love him. And once everybody got there, every being got there, every creation of God got there, and we were all bowing, all of a sudden, I just remember, I was still on my face and my hands before the throne, and all of a sudden, I could hear on this side a group raise up, and they went at it. They were singing and praising the Lord and telling him how much they love him. And you could feel the atmosphere just change with it because everything is going to vibrate because of the praise that's going to the Father. And then when their time was down, all of a sudden I got with my group and we all rose up and started telling our Father how much we love him. I mean, it was, I think people think, it is not going to be one of those slow things that you think we're going to.
I know that.
People are going to be excited about this.
I'll tell you right now, some teaching so-called worship music bothers me.
Mm-hmm.
But for one thing, I like happy music.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think heaven's going to be a really happy place.
It's a happy place. Yeah, there's no frowning, so.
No.
It doesn't exist anymore. Not that we remember, it just doesn't even exist.